You're welcome.
Yeah, Siri chimed in. Did you hear that?
I did.
Siri said, "You're welcome." We didn't ask you, but all right.
Mark Graben and Jamie Flinchball are two guys drinking whiskey while chatting about lean ideas, experiences, and news. Let's hope they hold their liquor because they're not holding back on sharing their opinions. It's time for Lean Whiskey, Lean Talk with a Fun Spirit.
Hey, everybody, it's Mark Graben here. Welcome to episode 45 of Lean Whiskey. It's going to be a little bit different today. You're going to hear that soon. One thing that's not different is that we're joined, of course, by Jamie Flinchbaugh. How are you, Jamie?
I'm great. Good to see you.
Good to see you. Anything else you want to say to kind of tee up this kind of unique episode today?
Yep. So it's a special crossover event with the Just In Time Cafe celebrating their 100th. And while Lean Whiskey is nowhere near that milestone, you're at a couple milestones with your other podcast, which we'll talk about in this episode. And so it was it's a great episode talking about podcasting, and we're joined with some friends at the Just In Time Cafe.
And that was great fun. Maybe when we celebrate 50 episodes of this, Jamie, we can have them back here.
We'll do something, I'm sure.
All right. Well, here's the episode. Enjoy. Cheers.
Cheers.
Hey, I'm Elizabeth Swan.
And I'm Jamie Flinchbaugh.
I'm Mark Graben.
And I'm Tracy O'Rourke. And who are those two new voices? As you might suspect, we are mixing it up today and celebrating the Just In Time Cafe's 100th episode with some fellow friends, podcasters, book writers, colleagues, and rumor is that Just In Time just got our liquor license. Woo-hoo! Just for this episode. So for full enjoyment of this episode, break out a whiskey drink or whatever libation you prefer and have a drink with us, unless, of course, you're listening while driving your car.
Yes, please join us. Mark and I are from the Lean Whiskey Podcast, where we often have a drink on hand while we talk about lean topics in the news and all sorts of other things.
And I just wanted to add, I love that the Just In Time Cafe got its liquor license. People don't know, Lean Whiskey is like a speakeasy that has a hidden secret entrance in the kitchen in the back of the Just In Time Cafe.
A what?
Yeah, people don't know that, Mark, but now they do.
they don't know the password to get in.
They don't know the password.
with a twist, right? So Tracy, me, Jamie, and Mark are going to be letting you in on some helpful apps and doing the normal stuff we do, like, you know, helping you build your problem-solving muscles, but with a little bit of a twist.
That's right.
My cocktail doesn't have a twist.
So, Elizabeth, what is on the 100th cafe menu today?
Oh, Tracy, today's highlight is whiskey cocktails, or maybe more pointedly, the reason behind our whiskey cocktails. In celebration of 100 cafe episodes, we've invited our good buds, Mark Graben and Jamie Flinchbaugh of the Lean Whiskey Podcast, to mark this milestone with us. And we're ready to talk all things podcasting with them today, right? And then we'll do a little bit of hot apps where the four of us are going to let you in on our current faves. So stay tuned for some solid tips there. But I mentioned a twist. Maybe it's a garnish, maybe nothing. I don't know. Because in honor of today's podcasting collaboration, we each made our favorite whiskey cocktail. So we're going to find out about our guests and their drinks. So before we talk about podcasting and apps, let's learn more about our spirited guests. So Jamie, would you like to lead us with a little whiskey appreciation and a little bit about you?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, Jamie Flinchbaugh, I've been a consultant, advisor, coach, consultant, author around Lean for a long, long time. But today, I mostly do executive advising, coaching, and thought partner work. And in addition to Lean Whiskey, he also wrote the book People Solve Problems and have podcast People Solve Problems. Mm-hmm. So my cocktail be a little original because I made it myself. It's called the Black Forest Kiss. Mm-hmm. It's just so people can see. Can't Google this. It's whiskey, vermouth, cherry liqueur, and chocolate bitters with, of course, cherry garnish. So that's my cocktail I decided to make for tonight.
Ooh.
Interesting.
Really good. Yeah. I definitely want to try that.
I do.
It's a good winter cocktail.
Right.
Too bad this is a virtual speakeasy because I'd be grabbing your drink right now.
Always happy to share. Here,
try a sip.
Mm-hmm. All right. Mark, what you got? What you got over there? You got a backup and a real drink? What's going on?
Right. So first, a little bit about me. And I've been on the Just In Time Cafe podcast. So it's great to be back in the cafe with my friends. I am author, speaker, consultant, entrepreneur, podcaster, etc. Written books. My most recent is called The Mistakes That Make Us. One of my podcasts that I host and produce is called My Favorite Mistake. And I've been doing a lean podcast. We're going to talk about the podcast more. My drink. Oh, and I should say for those watching on video, I went to the Reds opening day game here today. As we were recording this, I was not drinking bourbon at the game. So my cocktail here is my first drink because I knew we were going to be doing this. I have made, it's a perfect Manhattan. Mm-hmm. So it's made with rye whiskey. I prefer. You can do a Manhattan with bourbon. I used Whistle Pig 10-year rye, bit of a splurge, but it was there and it's good. And then what makes it a perfect Manhattan, normally it would be 2 ounces of whiskey, 1 ounce of sweet vermouth, and some dashes of bitters. What makes it a perfect Manhattan is when you do an ounce of dry vermouth, a half ounce of dry vermouth, a half ounce of sweet vermouth. Because the sweet vermouth can be a little heavy. Today's kind of feeling like spring. Perfect Manhattan, a little bit lighter version of a Manhattan. And I used walnut bitters, which gives it a nice nuttiness. So that's my perfect Manhattan. And I've done it over a big ice ball, which you could also drink it up in a martini glass.
I don't know.
That sounds really nice.
I'm impressed with the walnut bitters. I know a lot of bitters and I did not know walnut bitters. So yeah. I'm already like just sort of taking that and the ice ball. I'm like kind of appreciating both those things right now. Well, I was realizing, I don't know, Tracy, that you and I have described ourselves to our guests ever. And, you know, whiskey podcasters or listeners, they may also want to know. So I would say one thing I tell people, if you've ever seen Pirates of the Caribbean movies, you know that Keira Knightley plays Elizabeth Swann. So I have a background in piracy, but also over 30 years in the continuous improvement business. So, so like my buds here, I am also an author. Tracy and I both wrote a book. My latest book is Picture Yourself a Leader. So I have been doing a lot of, What Mark Graben, is that a familiar cover?
I have a copy of.
Oh my goodness. So that book has led to lots of things, including lots of speaking. So whereas I wasn't doing it as much before, that seems to be a lot of what I'm doing now. Other than that, I am coaching people. I am helping organizations go through things like lean transformations and, oh goodness, there's podcasts, there's books, there's all kinds of things, consulting. So, but I am interested in hearing about how Tracy's, wait a minute. I didn't tell you what my drink was.
What's your drink?
What is my drink? My drink, and I thought I was going to impress the hell out of Jamie, and he's like, oh yeah, I know that drink. So it's called Remember the Maine. And I just have to read this because it's just such a great listing here. It says, Remember the Maine, a hazy memory of a night in Havana during the unpleasantness of 1933, when each swallow was punctuated with the bombs going off on the Prado or the sound of 3-inch shells being fired at the Hotel Nacional, then haven for certain anti-revolutionist, revolutionary officers. Treat this one with respect it deserves. Take a tall bar glass, toss in 2 lumps of ice, onto this foundation, donate the following in order given: 1 jigger of good rye whiskey. I put bullet in here. I think I mentioned.
It said use good rye whiskey. Sorry. No,
You meant it to sting. Donate the following in order given. Oh, blah, blah, blah. Okay. 1/2 jigger Italian vermouth, 1 to 2 teaspoons cherry brandy, and 1/2 teaspoon absinthe or Pernod. I believe it's Pernod. Stir briskly clockwise fashion. It makes a seagoing, presumably. That makes it seagoing. Anyway, it's really, really good. And Jamie would have made one, but he didn't have any absinthe.
Correct.
That's usually the bottleneck in probably cocktail making supplies that you have on hand.
Mm. Right. Yeah.
Well, that sounds delicious as well, Elizabeth. Very nice.
It is. And how about you, Tracy?
Okay. So I won't spend a lot of time talking about me, but I have been doing this for over 25 years. Process improvement. Absolutely still love it. A self-proclaimed zealot of process improvement. And of course, we started the Just in Time Cafe together, as most people know. We have a podcast. We wrote our first book, which is coming out, the second edition, Problem Solvers Toolkit, coming out very soon. Very excited about that. And I also did a parody music video called Baby Got Tools. Ooh, yeah. And I converted Sir Mix-a-Lot's Baby Got Back to Miss Fix-a-Lot's Baby Got Tools. And I actually am working on a new song, 5S Baby.
All right, stop. I'm not telling you to stop. That's just from the song. Sorry.
That's exactly right. Cannot wait. It's almost ready. And I'm super excited about it. And I'll just say that when I'm not working and getting paid to do process improvement, I love helping nonprofits achieve their missions with helping them with process improvement. So, and there's a lot of people in San Diego that are nonprofits that are very active. So that brings joy to my heart. Okay. So my drink. So please don't judge me. My bartender, AKA my husband, he left for Nashville today for the weekend with his buddies. And I was going to have him make me a good old fashioned tonight. And he left. I checked our stash and apparently he drank all the whiskey. So I have wine, red wine. But I will say that the last time I had whiskey was on St. Patrick's Day. And I had shots of Jameson before, with Bailey's and coffee before I played pickleball. And it was a spirited event.
I bet. That day.
So
I bet. Neither Mark or Jamie's ever had Bailey's.
I have. Yeah, I've had Bailey's. I like red wine. You know, it's not a cocktail.
I like red wine, and I've made my own whiskey cream. But I'm going to assume you're going to be back in stock when he gets back from Nashville.
Yes, I think so. I think so. Because I'm going to text him angrily and say, you drank all the whiskey.
It's a different inventory problem than I might have.
Yes.
So on that note, since we all have our drinks, how about we do a celebratory cheers to
my friends,
to our friends and whiskey and 100 episodes.
100 episodes. Woo! Congratulations.
Mm-hmm. Congrats.
Mm-hmm. Woohoo. Up next, it's hot apps.
We usually do a deep dive on a helpful app, but today the four of us are giving shout outs to some of our favorites. And Jamie, what is a standout right now for you?
Yeah, so it's not new, but Trello is the backbone of my life. I've used it for a long time. I have a lot of different boards for different purposes. We have checklists on there. We have knowledge base stored on there. We have workflows built on there. I have a quick add widget on my phone where if I just remember something, I pop in a card and it's on my to-do list. And so I'm in Trello more than I'm in email, without question. So it's that's my go-to. That's the spine of my work in a lot of ways.
Yeah. Yep. We've tried Trello too. We've loved it. We used it for many years. It's good.
Yeah. Tracy, what about you?
Well, you know, there's so many, and I kind of resorted to the same thing Jamie did, is what am I using? You know, I may have, you know, a desire to learn something, and that sounds super cool as an app, but what I'm really using, Asana. And it really builds out workflow processes really easily. I absolutely love it, especially because a lot of transactional processes, as we know, are invisible. And so when you've got it, you know, every step worked out and who's doing that step, it makes it much more visible. And because you and I have been using it for at least 4 years now, Elizabeth, I love it. And, you know, my memory is going these days, and it's more and more, it seems. So I'm really, you know, some of the processes we have at the JIT Cafe, we only do once a month and we forget. I don't want to forget. And so, you know, Asana just helps us remember when we're supposed to do something, what it is, who's doing it. And I'm liking it more and more.
It's good. It's better as you get older.
Yeah.
How about you, Mark?
Well, a brief mention of one I didn't plan on talking about, but the MLB ballpark app made it super easy for my wife to transfer a ticket to me to come over and join her and people from her company at the Reds game today. Super easy electronic ticketing. I enjoy that modern world because I have forgotten physical tickets in the past, like in the late 90s, going to a sporting event. And I can't do that anymore because it's all digital through my phone. But the one I did want to mention, and I'll keep it pretty brief, is an app, a company, Kinexus. It is a web-based enterprise platform, and there's an iPhone app, and I use it. It's a platform that organizations use to manage all things continuous improvement. So I've been part of the Kinexus team since 2011, and we say, as they say in the tech community, we eat our own dog food. So we use Kinexus as a tool for managing the continuous improvement that happens within Kinexus. If I see a problem or have an idea, I can log it with my iPhone app, and I get email alerts and updates on progress related to things we're collaborating on. And that's what our Kinexus customers do. So that's one of my favorite, and I'll call it a hot app.
Hot app. I like it. No, I'm looking forward to I get to come out and meet more folks over at Kinexus in May.
And I should have mentioned, now I shouldn't have interrupted. Sorry.
No, go.
So the 8th annual Kinexus User Conference, aka Kinexicon, is super excited to have the Elizabeth Swan as one of our keynote speakers at that event, which is mostly for Kinexus customers and people that are in the stages of buying our platform. So really excited. Can't wait to hear what you have to share.
Awesome.
Yeah, no, I'm psyched about that. And to get to know the app and your peeps better. It's a more I learn, more I like. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Okay, so for me, I realized it's kind of a two-part app that I only recently combined them. They're made by the same people, which is Scannable and Evernote. And I find I use them more and more because, well, Scannable, it's just constantly like, just an easy way to grab something, right? Just it's a photograph, turns it immediately into a PDF. But Evernote, I'm starting to use as a digital brain. Like, okay, I want to grab a website. I like the book that Mark just told me about. I like the whiskey drink that Jamie just made up. You know, like I want to grab these things and I want them to be part of my catalog. And Evernote just makes it really easy for me to just catalog stuff. Like, okay, I can tag things, I can give them, you know, like information that will help me search later. Because I find the process of storing information so that you can use it for, you know, you want to write a blog, you want to write a book, you want to help a customer, you want to solve a lighting problem in your house, whatever it is, I just want to be able to find the stuff that I, you know, grabbed for good reason. And that I'm finding I use more and more and more. So that's mine.
Well, I was a heavy Evernote user when it first came out. And I don't remember what I transitioned to when I stopped using it, but I lived in Evernote when I first engaged with it.
It's one of those apps where it seems like iPhone built-in apps start taking over. Like you could use the Apple Notes app to capture those thoughts and ideas and photos. And I guess that's what I use for that.
Yeah. And it's sort of an octopus. So whatever you use, you could just like send it in. So whether it's an Apple Note or whatever, I kind of like that aspect of it. It's like it doesn't care how you get it. Just throw it in.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. That's our app story.
Mm-hmm. I'm surprised none of those apps were related to whiskey.
Where is the whiskey app, really?
Well, maybe we should collaborate on that.
Yeah. We're going to make it up. We'll make it up just like Jamie did his drink.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm Elizabeth Swan, and you're listening to the Just in Time Cafe podcast. Coming up next, it's all things podcasting with Mark Graben, Jamie Flinchbaugh, Tracy O'Rourke, and Elizabeth Swan.
I'm Tracy O'Rourke, and you're listening to the Just in Time Cafe podcast. We host these monthly, so you can go to www.jitcafe.com. That's jitcafe.com, and go to our podcast page. Okay, let's talk about what's in the news. And how about another cheers? Why not, right? Just in Time Cafe hits 100 episodes. Cheers. And cheers. Hey, cheers. Mark, you're hitting 250 for my favorite mistake.
Right.
And also 500 for the Lean blog. Dang.
It's the OG.
It is the OG.
It's hilarious to me that, I mean, I started that these milestones lined up in the same month, March 2024, because I started the Lean Blog podcast or Lean Blog interviews in the summer of 2006. And I've done those apparently roughly every 2 weeks, pretty consistently since then. And I started My Favorite Mistake in September 2020, a pandemic project. I was doing two a week. Now it's been one a week. And it's just so lined up that if you were to chart the the slope of those podcasts, it intersected with the milestone. I probably shouldn't have had them intersect with the milestones in the same month, but they did. And the same month as 100 episodes of the JIT.
More intersections, Mark. More intersections.
Dang.
Jamie, did you have any sort of round number here on People Solve
Problems? Yeah, what do you got for round numbers,
Jamie? 20? That's a good round.
It's probably in that ballpark. I made a conscious choice not to number the episodes. So anytime I want to know, I have to go count. I don't know if that's a good decision or not, but I kind of wanted to not worry about the number. So it hasn't been a year yet. I started it last summer. And we're doing two episodes a month, so you can do the rough math. But I haven't been counting the numbers. So
Jamie's got two degrees from MIT. He can count. So if
you can count. Yeah. Sometimes counting though makes you focus on the wrong thing. So I didn't want to get hung up on that for me, because I would probably obsess about that progress, or probably do it faster than I wanted to. So it's working. Great conversations, and short format. We interviews, conversations about problem solving are about 20 minutes, so relatively short in the wide world of podcasting.
I like it. I liked your format, Jamie. Jamie had me on really early, his first round of guests. Yes,
you were. Yeah,
and it was just fun. It was like here's a bunch of areas we could go. Pick one. It was like just sort of loose but also, relevant and targeted. I liked it.
Yep. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah.
Awesome.
What instigated you, Jamie, to start yours, right? So you're the freshest face on the podcast scene of this quadrangle right here.
Yeah, because Mark and I have been, but besides being guest number early for Mark.
Guest number
five or three? Like Jamie was a very early and very frequent guest.
Yeah, it was three or five. It was in that ballpark. Lean Whiskey, we started because we would get together you know, in when the rare chance would be in the same city, we'd go find a whiskey bar. Usually Mark would guide me towards the right one. And we'd hang out and talk shop. And we kind of joked for probably 3 years that this should be a podcast until 2019. We decided, let's make it a podcast. So that's how that got started, just out of fun, a chance for us to work together. But people solve problems. You know, when I did the first outline for the book, I only used about a quarter of my planned outline for the book. And I kind of did some early math as I started writing. I'm like, this is going to be an 800 word book. Like, I don't think anybody wants an 800 word book. So let me make it a lot smaller. Yeah. But I didn't want to stop, and I wasn't in the rush to do a, you know, second edition or follow up book. So let's have conversations about problem solving. There's so much more to explore and understand. So I just got started. I mean, it took some planning, of course, but I just know there's so much more to talk about, because to me, I actually just wrote an article about first principles with the idea that you understand what's at the core, and then you can take it a lot of different ways. And I really believe that about problem solving, that the first principles are very common across the many methods and tools. And so I get to explore all those, building on those first principles in the podcast.
Nice. I like that. And just thinking about you, Mark, what your first was Lean Blog, right?
Right.
So what initiated that for you?
Norman Bodak. It's the short answer. Mm-hmm. So the late, great, interesting Norman Bodak was somebody I had the opportunity to meet. And we had originally, because I had the blog first, at leanblog.org, I had corresponded with Norman via email, and we had done an email back and forth interview that was just published on the blog. And I remember one day, and we were on the phone, and Norman loved sharing ideas. He was a creative, pretty high-tech guy. Like, I learned about Zoom from Norman the first time, way before the pandemic. He was an early adopter of Zoom. But Norman said to me with all this enthusiasm, "You know what you should do? You should do a radio interview with me." That's exactly how he said it. And I do not own a radio station, a radio transmitter. I do not have a radio show. And I did not think that was likely to happen. But in, you know, the middle of 2006, podcasting was happening, and not as easy to produce or listen to the podcast as it might be today. And so I took Norman's idea and I said, "Oh, there's this thing called podcasting. We're going to connect through Skype," which he was very good at. Mm-hmm. And that was the first episode.
Hmm.
I don't know if I might have later gotten into podcasting, but it was absolutely Norman's gift of an idea. So he was the first guest. He was on, and I went through and I counted this up recently. He was a guest 14 times. Jamie is tied for second with John Toussaint. He's been on there 9 times. And in episode 50, he interviewed me about, 50 episodes. I'd have to go back. Like, did you ask, like, do you think we'll be doing something for 500 episodes someday? I absolutely have to thank Norman for that idea. Yeah.
That's lovely. Radio.
Yeah. I had heard that story and I completely forgot it. So I'm thrilled you have a chance to tell it again.
Yeah.
And I'll come back to Lean Whiskey, because obviously Mark has several podcasts, but as you know, Mark had the idea for this being a podcast. Like I said, we kind of joked about it for a couple of years. And I think I might've been the impetus, like, let's go, let's do this.
Yeah.
I might've been looking for something to do around that time, even if I was pretty busy.
Yeah.
But it was, you know, as I kind of think back on that, right, Mark had this idea, hey, you know what would be cool? So, you know, Tracy and Elizabeth, I guess, you know, how did both of you get started? Did it just come out of a conversation naturally? Did one of you have the idea and approach the other? How did you all get started?
You want to share, or do you want me to first?
You go, Tracy.
Okay. Well, you know, it's funny. It wasn't our idea. So at the time, we were with another company, and we had a partner, and it was his idea. And I was like, what? And I'm like, I don't know. And so we kind of, you know, ran with the idea. And, you know, we came up with these podcast rooms, and we started it in 2016, Elizabeth?
Yeah.
And, you know, it was a process. We were very focused on the process, and it felt very, honestly, it felt a little laborious at first. Mm. Like, wow, there's so much to this. And now, I mean, it's so turnkey because we've done it for so long, and it just feels like, you know, we just know each other's patterns. We have our roles, but that's, you know, we were excited to have it. And honestly, it was killed, you know, for about a year. We didn't do it. And Elizabeth and I realized we really love the podcast, and we're bringing it back, man. We're bringing it back. And it was about just talking to people and getting to meet new people and talking about what we love and why did we kill it in the first place.
You know what? You're reminding me when we first started and we didn't know what we were doing, and it was just like, okay, what's in it? You know, what are we going to talk about? Because you and I was writing book reviews, and I thought, well, it'd be good to talk about, you know, books in our industry. That would be one segment. Obviously wanted to talk to people in our industry. It was like, well, there's practitioners, there's leaders, there's, you know, inside, there's consult, you know, there's just so many different angles. But again, you know, and the other aspect of it is I know a lot of people in radio, right? Back to Mark's original request from Norman Bodak. It's like, I know producers and, you know, and there's a whole radio station near me on Cape Cod. And I met the people who run it because they were interviewing my stepfather. Mm. And I got to know them. And then I thought, well, they probably know what podcasts are supposed to be like. So I was like, can you just look at or listen to what the heck Tracy and I recorded? And first off, really, really good people to ask on account of the kindness factor, and gave us feedback. And they were like, well, first off, what's great is that you two clearly enjoy talking to each other, right? Just like you and, you know, Mark and Jamie, you guys like have such a good time talking. It's like, well, we can just, you know, it would be seamless to move this into something recorded on account of we have such a good time doing it.
Yeah,
right. But I said that joy comes through, and here's some things that would help you, which we still do, you know, which is, you know, might want to do a station identification, like who the heck are you? What are people listening to and all that? And also something called bait and narrative. And that sticks with me to this day, which is say what's coming, leave a little mystery. Like, what's that going to be about, you know? And so taught me some staples that helped Tracy and I frame it and give it that structure and then cut loose, right? And have fun with it. And I think since it we resurrected it after a year hiatus, and it felt like, oh, now we can really have fun. So when Jamie reached out and was like, 100 episodes coming up, looks to me, so what do you think, want to have some fun with Lean Whiskey? It was like, oh, hell yes.
So has what, you know, so you mentioned some of what you both kind of loved about doing it. Has what you love about it changed, or has that been the constant the whole way through?
I would say that's pretty constant. Of course, that's not what I didn't know what I was going to love when we started, but really it was reaching out to people, thinking about who was interesting to us at the time, and go, oh, we should have them on the podcast. Let's have them talk about the book. Let's have an interaction. And, you know, and that really has been, you know, and again, the reason why it got killed was, you know, misdirected, I think, because it was like, oh, it's not making any money. What? Mm. Okay. And so we said, well, we kind of like doing it. And then when we killed it, a lot of people came to us and go, why'd you kill the podcast? Yeah. And we really missed it. And now it's pretty clear in my view why we do it. Because we love it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of aspects that we love. And it's really the people piece, in my opinion. What would you say, Elizabeth?
I would say that I've learned a ton. Like, I think initially I was very concerned with, this is supposed to be a 3-minute segment and it's now 3 minutes and 55 seconds. You know, like I had this idea of like, we had to stick to a clock and you were always like, whatever. Yeah. So it went over. And I think it's taken me, it's kind of the phase two of it that allowed me to cut loose more and say, whatever, wherever we go with it, it is long, it's short. And I think once that felt like a chain came off, that made it more fun for me. And I think I feel like we have such different approaches that I'm always kind of gleeful at where you think things are going and where I think things are going. Like I'm over here and you're over here and I'm like, wow, who would have guessed that? And like, see where that goes. So
I will say that Elizabeth and I just love, you know, our interaction too. We have scripts. We write out scripts. And then there's this part where it says, Tracy, expand. And I don't write anything. I just talk. Blah, 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 blah. And she was like, that was great, Tracy.
Like, good. So, what do you say, Mark?
Well, you mentioned the clock. And like, for one, yeah, podcasting thankfully doesn't have the constraints of like radio. If you've ever been a guest on a radio talk news station, like it's all computer controlled. If they don't stop at like 17 minutes and 15 seconds past the hour, the commercial's running whether they like it or not. Right.
Yeah. So
podcasts are unencumbered by that to a fault. But I was going to share, if I could, like part of my original concept for Lean Whiskey was not just an excuse to talk about whiskey. That was part of it. But if you know the lean coffee format, my original concept was that we would structure it like lean coffee and have the timer for a topic and the timer would go off and we would go on to the next thing. But it's whiskey instead of coffee. And I don't know if any of you have watched the show on ESPN, Pardon the Interruption. Mm-mm. Jamie and I are almost as old as not as old as Tony Kornheiser and Michael Wilbon, but that show is almost structured like Lean Coffee, where they show this rundown of what's coming, and there's a timer, and the clock it hits zero, and you hear a bing, and sometimes they move to the topic that's next, and sometimes they keep yapping. And that was kind of my vision for the format, but we ended up, and I think Jamie was like, yeah. Let's just be, we don't need that much structure. We can be a little looser about it, but there's a little bit of that origin or thoughts of like, we could have the spirited debate, pun intended. But our talking, debating, discussing lean instead of sports.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, it really helped me that Mark knew what he was doing, right? Cause he had been doing this for so long. And so I could put my faith in his abilities to understand podcasting, because I was wading into the deep end there, I certainly do my best to pull my weight in the process, but but fundamentally that made it so much easier. And the fact was, we would just have chats about about this stuff, right? About lean stuff. And, it was interesting to us. And I still remember we had a conversation about halfway through the format started to grow, like the length started to grow. And we're like, hey,
fun.
Yeah. Is that a problem? Or do we care? And we're like, well, if our goal is to enjoy the conversation, then we don't care. Well, if people don't really like it, they won't tune in, and that's okay, right? That's their choice. So I think more than any of our other projects, right, this has been a truly just like, let's go have the conversation, let's chat and enjoy the moment.
There's something to be said, as much as I would advocate for customer focus on things that are really a business.
Yes.
My advice, I think, is do the podcast you want to do. Mm-hmm. And if other people listen, great. To some extent, write the book you want to write. Mm-hmm. If people want to read it, great. Yeah. Like at some point it's an artistic thing and you're enjoying it and it's a hobby. And if there's not an ROI, you call it marketing expense. I don't know. Like you do it because you want to do it, and you can do it the way you want to do it.
I'm taking like two things, like Jamie's like, it's almost like Credo, like, I just don't care. And then that reminds me of Bill Murray in, like, I don't know what movie it was, but it was like, it just doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. And he had all the campers reciting it. But it's like, back to do, like you said, do the podcast you want, write the book you want. Like, and yeah, people are into it. Great, they're into it. And if not,
I just want to add one other thing that I think it was Trace who talked about, having the right amount of structure. You have something scripted, and then there's this bullet that says, okay, just talk, explain. Like, you know, Jamie and I do some planning, but it's not scripted, right? And I think there's this general standardized work question of, to meet whatever objective, how much structure do you need? And you can be creative within structure as opposed to having no structure at all. Just like improv, Elizabeth?
Yeah. Thank you, Mark. Thank you for that shout out on improv. And that is interesting because on the one hand, I have the background of being on stage and doing improv for, you know, 5 years. On the other hand, Tracy's way more ready to improvise than me. Like, she's like, well, let's just go, like, whatever. And I'm like, well, this is the structure, Tracy. And she's like, yeah, whatever. So that dichotomy has been really helpful. And then I remember early on giving someone the questions I was going to ask him. And then I clearly realized, you know, with 5 minutes in, he was reading the answers to my questions. And I showed that to, I told the radio folks and they were like, oh my God, never give questions before, you know, an interview. And then I was like, you know, we get torn because people get nervous. They're like, what are we going to talk about? We're like, well, here's the theme and you're an expert. So wherever we go with it is great. Yeah. But I know you guys get that too. Like, people want to know, what are you going to ask?
They do.
Yeah.
I've had a guest where I could tell they were reading and I hated that. I don't think that makes for good listening. Most people don't read in a way that doesn't make it obvious that they're reading.
Mm-mm. Yeah. Yeah. And we're seeing that less and less now that podcasts are becoming more and more familiar. Early on in the earlier years, we were like, oh no, he's reading. And then, you know, I was actually in the room with someone. I took the notes away. I'm like, okay, no, we're going to do that over. But I think I want to go back to what you said something earlier, Jamie, and it's really resonating with me right now in my life. And that is just do you, right? Mm. Like, yes, you're right. You're going to do and enjoy yourself and do a podcast. And if people don't want to listen, that's okay. And, you know, I for years have put a lid on some of my energy. And I'm just, you know, feeling like, no, I can't do that anymore. If people don't want what I have, go find your people.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yes.
Like, go find your people. If I'm not your person, fine, but I'm not going to change, right? And so I'm really leaning into that lately. Yeah. And I think that's why I'm doing these parody videos, because I'm just, they crack me up.
Yeah.
People ask me, why are you doing that? I'm like, because I like it. It's fun.
I love that.
Yeah, I think that's, and I think, because I mentor entrepreneurs, particularly student entrepreneurs, so, you know, college students working on startups, and, you know, everybody wants to define a really broad market. And I really encourage them to find it super narrow to where you'll have the perfect fit, right? And so, like, your perfect fit is, you know, probably based on location, but also, like, love Sir Mix a lot. And, like, you know, but the point is, when you find the perfect fit, then that's an automatic.
Mm. Yeah.
And then the people that weren't a perfect fit are just as good a fit as if you were ambiguous and broad about where you belong. Mm-hmm. And so I, whether it's a business strategy or it's, you know, you showing up in the, on the podcast or in the market, I think it's, just be the clearest version of you.
Yeah.
And then for some people you're a perfect fit. But if you're too vague and too ambiguous about who you are, you're not the perfect fit for anybody. You're an okay fit for more, but it's not, you're never a perfect fit. So and of course, you know, you get to sleep well at night knowing you're being authentic.
Yeah. And even the most popular podcasts in the United States are not everybody's cup of tea. Mm-hmm. And if I, and that phrase, a couple of months ago, I was listening to the radio, which was serendipity because I mostly listen to podcasts or NPR or Apple Music, you know, that's playing. So it was actually radio. And so there was this song that I discovered. It wasn't a brand new song, Kacey Musgraves. And she's singing, I Can't Be Everybody's Cup of Tea. And I went back and I've listened to the song and read the lyrics. And I'm like, I think I needed to hear that. You know? It was random that it was playing on the radio when I happened to hear it. But like I'm paraphrasing, but it's something basically, you know, you can't be everything to everything. So be what you want to be.
Yeah.
No, it's great.
Well, cheers to that.
Yeah, cheers to that, people. Cheers to that. Yeah, just really. Yeah, and lean into it.
Mm-hmm. And podcasting about it.
Yeah. 100 episodes or 500?
But here, I want to ask a question because I podcast because I love asking questions and I can't help but ask a question to any of you. Are there any particular podcasting mistakes that you've learned from or make for a good story? They're thinking. For those who are just listening, I'm seeing their thinking faces. Which does not make for great radio, so I fill the silence.
Aren't you good? So
one thing that I can think of is I was about to interview someone who was a customer of Life Sharing. So Life Sharing is an organ donor procurement group, and her father was a volunteer, meaning he died. And I was very nervous about making sure that she felt comfortable. And, you know, I think it could have gone really wrong. It could have gone not good. And so I felt like I needed to do more preparation. So, and we ended up crying on the podcast. Which wasn't obviously, that's just what we felt at that time. And, you know, I guess it wasn't a mistake. It was really more really being thoughtful about this could not go well if, you know, so I called her, I reached out to her. I'm like, are you sure? What kind of questions can I ask you? I don't want to trigger anything you don't want to talk about because she's pretty raw. And sometimes I guess the lesson learned from that is, you know, just really, we want it to be off the cuff, but we also want to make sure that they're comfortable. Mm-hmm.
That's a good point.
Elizabeth, can you think of anything?
No, you're just reminding me that it kind of, some of my favorite moments are you and I screwing up, like, you know, just mispronouncing something completely wrong word. Like something where I just realized, okay, well, there's no, like we could go back and like erase that and smootherate the whole thing. But you and I have learned to lean into, okay, well, that was a complete cock up. So let's just call it what it is.
Yeah.
And now that's become, and that's what improv was all about, right? Being on stage, mistakes are gold. Because that's where you're going places the audience didn't see you going, and then you got to make something out of it. And so I think that's been a really nice discovery. And back to, you know, Mark's entire book, Mistakes That Make Us, right? That the mistakes make us, right? That those make the podcast. Tracy, those are the times you and I have laughed so hard that back to, you know, there's a audience out there and Mark was saying there's suddenly silence. It's because we're gasping for air. Laughing so hard, like those are just the moments that, back to Jamie's point, do what you love, that we both love. Like those are lovable moments. So I think just when I think about, you know, mistakes, my basic feeling is they're good.
Yeah. Okay. We only have a few more minutes. So I'll go ahead and repeat the question back to you, Mark and Jamie. Do you guys?
Well, I'll start because he has more inventory to sort through.
More mistakes.
More inventory of episodes. But it's not very profound. But fundamentally, I think, you know, just really making sure you get the equipment right is incredibly useful. And you know, Mark will be, I'm really grateful because he'll tell me when the audio is just not good enough. Right? and so I've upgraded. I'm not a big headphones person. I don't love that. So I've upgraded and tried to improve that. I have battery backup on my router or my desktop. So even if we have a power blip, you know, everything's good. So, sometimes it's little things, but really just making sure you have the right setup that works for you, right? There's no right setup, right? Mm-hmm. But that works for you. You don't have to overdo it. You can take a step, improve. But a little bit of equipment can go a long way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, wonderful. How about you, Mark?
I'll answer that.
Sorry.
The short version of the one mistake, and it's only happened once. So I've done across different podcasts, including some others we haven't mentioned, probably, well, at least 850 interviews, almost entirely through Zoom or Skype or technologies like that. Only one time did I forget to hit record. Ooh. And I cannot remember who it was, but what I can remember is that they were incredibly gracious. Like, I owned up to it. I'm like, you know what? I could have blamed technical issues or something. And I was just, it was someone I knew well enough, and it kills me, I can't remember. I'm like, you know what? It didn't record. And what I mean by that is I did not hit record. And that person, without much pause, was so cheerful and said, well, okay, we'll do it again, but better. We'll call that a practice session. It wasn't Norman. I'm almost saying that. I'm somehow hearing Norman's voice. But I thought that was a great lesson about being gracious about mistakes. And then the other tip, maybe for other podcasters, other than don't forget to hit record, is at least I've learned, always do the pre-call. So Tracy, to your point of making sure the guest is comfortable, making sure the guest is prepared. So like the only question they know I'm going to ask is, what's your favorite mistake? And sometimes early on, I'm not trying to blame the PR firm. I learned to take ownership of this. But if there was a third party communicating in between me and the guest and they weren't prepared for that question, I've learned you don't want to surprise someone with that question. So what my one lesson was, instead of blaming, oh, those damn PR people, I'm like, I need to own the communication. And part of that is always do the pre-call, because then I can see eye to eye with that person through Zoom and make sure if they didn't know about the question before the pre-call, they have time to think about it between the pre-call and the episode. So a little bit of process change really eliminates the risk of that mistake.
Nice.
So I'm just going to say this, and I don't know if it's the whiskey talking, but this was really, really fun. I so enjoyed this. This is like Tracy and me plus steroids. So
plus
this was
a liquor license.
Plus a liquor license, which is what we've been needing at the cafe for so long. So thank you, Jamie and Mark, for taking us to that point. And I'm just going to say, I think we're going to have to do it again. I don't see how this could possibly stop, because there's so many things we did not talk about that I would love to talk about with you guys.
Let's
so
do it again.
Absolutely.
We'll do it again.
And absolutely. Make it the virtual speakeasy, a real in-person speakeasy will be
So one last empty flute situation here of like, cheers, my friends.
Backup drink.
Cheers, Ryan.
I got to learn backup drinks from you.
See, that's another lean whiskey specific podcasting mistake.
What? How did I miss that?
How many lean whiskeys now, Jamie? 60?
What, 40, tonight?
No, 40, no. 45-ish.
45-ish.
Yeah, we're not at 50 yet.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that could be the whiskey talking, which we
easy does
saying.
It, guys. It's early in the evening.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, congratulations to you. Yes. And I'm glad everybody's continuing on. And think the lean community is richer for it all.
You're here to that.
Yes.
Thanks.
One second. Tracy, you're going to do the last piece?
I think you are first.
I'm first. Okay. Thanks for joining me and Tracy and our buds. You are our favorite thing about the Just in Time Cafe, and we look forward to being your lifelong learning partners.
and join us every month for your jolt of lean caffeine and lean whiskey.
Thank you for listening to Lean Whiskey. To learn more or find more episodes, visit leanwhiskey.com, spelled either K-E-Y or K-Y. You can also visit leanblog.org/leanwhiskey or jflinch.com/leanwhiskey. Look for us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and wherever you listen to podcasts. We are very grateful for every rating, review, and follow. Until our next episode, cheers!